top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Monday, June 5th, 2023, and I'm your presenter, Jada George. In the headlines, Justice Dr. Irvin Andre questions blatant mistreatment in Dominica, but he argues that the people are aware of their rights and yet they defend an illegitimate administration.
Local, regional, and global, only on Q95.
An Anglican priest, Reverend Gillian Crawford, asked Barbadians to pray constantly and remember God post the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season during her sermon and at emergency management church service. And federal officials are investigating a jet that flew near the restricted U.S. Capitol area on Sunday, prompting military fighter jets to rush to attempt to intercept it before it crashed with no survivors in Northern Virginia. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next. The subject of where others are being mistreated as is done in Dominica is raised by Justice Dr. Irvin Andre, who claims that the people of this country are well aware of their rights. He investigates why the RSS was not called upon to implement disciplinary measures against the populace during serious protests that occurred in other Caribbean countries. He goes on to ask, why are they so determined to defend an illegitimate administration that has received a censure from the highest court in the region?
People know that they have the right of free speech. They know they have the right of free assembly. They know that they have a right to associate with whoever they choose, as long as there's no violation of the law. So there's no mystery as to those rights. The question is whether people in the exercise of their rights are victimized, they're abused, as in Dominica. They're not. Why? Because the RSS monkey knows which tree to climb. There has been serious demonstrations, some of them ended in violence in countries like Jamaica. Did the RSS find themselves in Jamaica? There was a big constitutional crisis in Guyana a few years ago. Did the RRS find itself in Guyana? What about protests in places like Trinidad? The RRS were conspicuous by their absence. Dominica is regarded as the place where everything goes. The question is, and why are they so intent to protect an illegal administration, one which has been censured by the ultimate court in the region? Whose interests are they protecting?
He goes on to state that a forensic audit will be conducted to look into the region's and Dominica's legal systems and identify their flaws. Dr. Andre believes that Dominicans should receive assistance in understanding their rights because of this, and he suggests that they will be alerted to the challenges they confront.
There will be a forensic audit one of these good old days, my friend, in terms of the rule of law and governance in Dominica and in the region. And one day we will find out exactly why the system is so broken, okay. Why it takes such a long time to get redress from the court system. Well, I'm not even going to comment on judicial decision making, that's for another day. But one day Dominicans will understand exactly what they're up against. And that is why it's so imperative that Dominicans deserve all the help they can get. Because quite frankly, the odds are stacked against them. And that is why organizations like NITCLIF and other organizations, hopefully, will be able to lend a financial helping hand to those who find themselves in some type of difficulty as a result of exercising their constitutionally protected rights.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andrew, in order to level the playing field and guarantee that everyone is treated equally, Sheridan Gregoire, host of Q95's Global View on Q show, contends that Dominica or good governance in Dominica is necessary. He points out that the population is dealing with a number of significant issues that are fueling their desire for free and fair elections. However, he opined that it does not appear to be something they will be given willingly by the incumbent regime. Gregoire believes that Dominica will not get good governance unless there are free and fair elections.
Good governance is what is going to result in, you know, leveling the playing field and ensuring that people are treated equally and everybody has a chance to grow wealth. And so I think that is an important question. It is all part of what we're talking about. But the whole thing is, and I think, yes, there's a lot of politics and we can talk about all those things. We can talk about the civics. But in actual fact, we have something that is facing us right now. And people are saying, hey, listen, we want free and fair elections. And then it does not appear it's going to be handed to them on a silver platter. And they're talking about, we want to get re-registration in Dominica to ensure that you remove all the dead people's name from the list, right? We want to ensure, in other words, there's certain things that people want in terms of this reform, campaign finance reform, the period for reporting on campaign financing. And all of that, the campaign reporting period. Gable, we are not going to get good governance unless we have free and fair elections. It is going to be lopsided so the playing field is not level. So one political party can have $670 million and the other one doesn't have that. It's not going to work.
Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Mr. Sheridan Gregoire. Attorney Gabriel Christian says Dominica has not had free and fair elections since 2005 because the system does not have any procedures in place to purge voters' lists or implement campaign finance reform. He emphasized that the leader of the DLP regime made the most abhorrently dictatorial and arrogant statement possible in response to a question about the source of funds. He reinforces that it's understandable why people keep emigrating in a one-party dictatorial state of affairs.
I agree. The last maybe election that had any semblance of freedom and fairness to it was maybe 2005. Since that time, we've not had fair and fair elections in Dominica. The reality is it's not simply about purging the voters' list and ID cards, it's also campaign finance reform. Yeah, when the Prime Minister is asked about the source of funds and his response is not a none of your damn business, that's the most awful, dictatorial, arrogant statement that one can make. And so in that kind of dictatorial fashion of a one-party state, it's no wonder that people keep fleeing, because you see, one of the things that you have with dictatorships is they are usually very inefficient in the creation of jobs.
He stated that the typical Dominican wants the freedom to associate with whoever they choose and to form their own opinions. Christian went on to discuss the importance of the Labor Commissioner and Social Welfare Department, while also pointing out that the institutionalized trade union movement collaborated with the public sector and political actors to fight for trades, minimum wages, and labor standards. He highlights that without an organized effort, progress is impossible.
There used to be a Department of Social Welfare in Dominica when I grew up. But the most important thing she needs to recognize is that we used to have an institutionalized trade union movement with about three or four unions. And those unions were exactly that, trade unions. They advocated for the various trades. So if you were a stevedore, for instance, a public servant, you're an electrician, you're whatever, you had the trades being represented. Here in the United States, you have the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW, and they speak to the people in the legislature, they advocate for minimum wage, and they set labor standards in coordination with the public sector and the political actors in the legislature. The Employers Federation, who represented the interest of the employers, petitioned the government or met with the Prime Minister so that they could advocate for their position. Now we so have in to absence of that organized effort, we're not going anywhere.
And that was attorney Gabriel Christian. The Brian Matthew Classic Table Tennis Tournament was produced by the Dominica Table Tennis Association and was to a huge success, with 29 players from Roseau, Roseau Valley, Portsmouth, Vieques, and Marigot taking part. The DTTA feels that this event brought out the best in the players and that their hard work was evident in the competitive performance. The event began at 10 a.m. on Sunday, June 3rd at the Will Strathmore Stevens Primary School in Marigot. The results are as follows. Men's competition, first place, Giovanni Robinson. Second place, Dane Taylor. In the finals, Dane Taylor retired hurt. In the women's competition, first place went to Cher Seaman. Second place, Sandra Joseph. Third place, Adesia James. In the finals, Cher Seaman defeated Sandra James 8-11, 11-6, 118. The Dominica Table Tennis Association would like to thank its supporters, Mr. Brian Matthew and Matthew's Brokerage, as well as the principal and staff of the Will Strathmore Stevens Primary School. They also wish to thank Narissa Phillip and everyone who helped make this competition a success. The DTTA Association congratulates all of the winners, Cher Seaman and Giovanni Robinson. On the occasion of World Environment Day 2023, Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations, stated that the theme of this year's celebration demands a joint effort to overcome the issue of plastic contamination. In his statement, he expressed the devastating impact of plastic pollution on humans, citing the potential investigation and ingestion of microplastics through our food, water, and air as a major concern. While drawing attention to a treaty that is up for discussion, he stressed the importance of collaborative efforts in curbing plastic pollution.
This World Environment Day is a call to beat plastic pollution. Every year, over 400 million tons of plastic is produced worldwide, one third of which is used just once. Every day, the equivalent of over 2,000 garbage trucks full of plastic is dumped into our oceans, rivers, and lakes. The consequences are catastrophic. Microplastics find their way into the food we eat, the water we drink, and the air we breathe. Plastics is made from fossil fuels. The more plastic we produce, the more fossil fuel we burn, and the worse we make the climate crisis. But we have solutions. Last year, the global community began negotiating a legally binding agreement to end plastic pollution. This is a promising first step, but we need all hands on deck.
According to Guterres, the United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, has released a recent report showing that implementing reuse and recycle practices immediately can lead to an 80% reduction in plastic pollution by the year 2040.
Global Plastics Treaty.
A new report by the UN Environment Programme shows that we can reduce plastic pollution by 80% by 2040 if we act now to reuse, recycle, reorient, and diversify away from plastics. We must work as one, governments, companies, and consumers alike, to break our addiction to plastics, champion zero waste, and build a truly circular economy. Together, let us share a cleaner, healthier, and more sustainable future for all.
Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the United Nations. Washburn Coffey, the President of the Concerned Citizens Movement, expressed his belief that the current government has been unappreciative towards the citizens of Dominica. Coffey went on to say that if one were to list all the problems that have occurred during the DLP government's time in power, the extent of the issues would be significant.
This government has been disgraceful to the Dominican public. Government has been disgraceful. I mean, if you have to enumerate all the issues that have taken place over the years that this government has been in power, it's tremendous. You know, every other day is another issue, and I don't think they have delivered to the Dominican public. And I think Scribe is in his rights to call for, you know, new people, man, new reset, not the reset of taking the old and putting them back there, you know, a total new reset that we, the Dominican public, can see some light out of the tunnel. So that is my comments here. And having regard to what we have recently taken place in terms of our fight for electoral reform, there is no doubt that we need to continue the resistance so that we can put Dominica on a much better footing than where it is today.
president of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffee. According to Lennox Linton, president of the United Workers' Party, Dominicans are frequently being informed that their country is trailing behind in numerous global aspects. However, the country's biggest lag is with regard to improving and modernizing its election system, which is crucial for further democratic development.
One of his senior ministers in the last 23 years is saying to us, Dominica has been last for too long in this world. One of the things that Dominica is last in is in fixing its system of election, you know, subjecting it to reform for continuous improvement. And we have been behind in too many things. One of the key things in which we are behind, especially in the Caribbean region here, is voting with ID cards, cleaning our voters list and so on. We're behind in those things. The confirmation is coming from your own team as part of your report card of the last 23 years. We have been last for too long in this world in reforming our electoral process, and we have been behind in too many things connected to the electoral process and our responsibility to elect government of the people, by the people, for the people. We're behind. We're in the backwater of the world community where that is concerned. So, you know, who's going to fix it?
Linton emphasized that the citizens have the duty to advocate for their best interests and to prevent any attempts by the current administration to obstruct the progress of implementing electoral reforms.
What is in front of us, as people, is the responsibility to get what is right for the state of Dominica and to prevent this gang in government from delaying and for derailing the process of electoral reform any further. They started back in 2008 when the commission decided it was going to clean the list and issue ID cards for voting. They call it madness going under the commission, which would interfere with the re-election legacy of Ruth Vance Garrett, and they have succeeded for 15 years to keep it away. We are saying that that cannot continue to happen, and we the people are going to stand. So we have a timetable now. End of June, Mr. Byron's report must be done and presented with the recommendations for amending the two pieces of election law that we have, the two election laws, the principal election laws in Dominica. The consultations must take place after that, and no later than the 31st of August, we must have the legislation enacted to give effect to the reforms. If that doesn't happen, Dominica is going to be a different place.
And that was Lennox Linton, president of the United Workers' Party. In other news, an Anglican priest wants Barbadians to pray constantly and remember God beyond the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season. Reverend Gillian Crawford shared the advice as she encouraged Barbadians to make the relevant preparations for the period during her sermon at the Department of Emergency Management's church service.
Above all else, the spiritual must be intact. And it requires each and every one of us to remember that God is still with us. That prayer is still important. And prayer is not only important during the hurricane season, and when the hurricane season is finished, then we forget about prayer because we figure we have been brought through, so we don't need God anymore. He says, Lord, I am with you always to the end of the age. And it says to all of us, we need to have God with us always.
And federal officials are investigating the crash of an unresponsive plane that flew near the U.S. Capital region on Sunday, prompting military fighter jets to rush to intercept the aircraft before it went down in Northern Virginia, leaving no survivors, authorities say.
No survivors found after a plane crashes in Virginia. The military says two fighter jets were sent to intercept the small plane after the aircraft entered restricted airspace over Washington, D.C. The jets traveled at supersonic speeds, causing a sonic boom that was heard across the region yesterday. The F-16s used flares to draw the pilots' attention, but were unsuccessful. 10 minutes later, the plane crashed near George Washington National Forest with four people on board.
When the D.C. Air National Guard F-16s eventually caught up to this aircraft, they looked in the cockpit and they could see that the pilot was slumped over and unconscious. The most likely scenario here is that there was some loss of pressurization, which induced hypoxia. Hypoxia is just the loss of consciousness due to lack of oxygen. You may not even know that it's coming on until you lose consciousness.
The man who runs the Florida-based company that owns the jet said his daughter and two-year-old granddaughter, her nanny, and the pilot were on the flight. They were returning home to Long Island.
And that's the Prime Evening News, but first here's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre questions blatant mistreatment in Dominica, but argues that the people are aware of their rights and yet they defend an illegitimate government. An Anglican priest, Reverend Gillian Crawford, asked Barbadians to pray consistently and remember God post the 2023 Atlantic hurricane season during her sermon at an emergency management church service. And federal officials are investigating a jet that flew near the restricted U.S. Capitol area on Sunday, prompting military fighter jets to rush to attempt to intercept it before it crashed with no survivors in North Virginia. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.
Q, top of the hour.